Before CDs and MP3s, fans of classical music would flip through record bins looking for a bright yellow banner that read Deutsche Grammophon. It was like a seal of approval. The tremendous success of the yellow label, as people called it, was due largely to one musician, Austrian conductor Herbert von Karajan. He sold more than 50 million records for Deutsche Grammophon. NPR's Tom Heisinger remembers the brilliant but controversial conductor who was born 100 years ago today.
There's enough drama in Herbert von Karajan's life to make a movie. In Hollywood, the pitch might go something like, ingenious young conductor from Mozart's hometown joins Nazi party to further career and bulldozes his way to the top, conducting Europe's powerhouse orchestras.
There's this wonderful joke where apparently he landed in Berlin and he took a cab and the cab driver asked him, where to, maestro? And he answered, doesn't matter, they need me everywhere.
Violinist Anna-Sophie Mutter had read all about Karajan's glamorous lifestyle by the time she auditioned for him in 1977 at age 13. The fast cars, yachts, airplanes, and his immense musical empire. Karajan had a keen nose for talent and he launched Mutter's international career. Karajan bolted to the top in the mid-1950s when he took over three monumental institutions, the Salzburg Festival, the Vienna State Opera, and most importantly, the Berlin Philharmonic, with a contract he demanded for life. But Karajan wasn't amassing power for power's sake. Anna-Sophie Mutter says he was obsessed with making sound that was perfectly beautiful.
And with beauty, he didn't mean Botox beauty, he meant beauty of soul, beauty of art.
Karajan rehearsed his orchestras for hours on end, and when it came time for a concert or recording session, he could simply stand on the podium and conduct the musicians with his eyes closed, as if in a trance. Some compared the sheen and the elegance of the so-called Karajan sound to a Rolls-Royce.
If you talk about Rolls-Royce, you should not forget the Ferrari underneath. If I think of the low strings, the double basses and the cellos, it's just amazing how these guys could blow your hair off.
That's Richard Strauss's tone poem called A Hero's Life, and on many levels, you could think of it as Karajan's own musical autobiography, especially the section titled The Hero's Adversaries.
There was always people who felt Karajan was too powerful.
Richard Osborne wrote the book Herbert von Karajan, A Life in Music. He says that as Karajan's strength grew, so did the list of his enemies.
They demonized him, and the demonization really became quite serious in the late 70s and early 80s. And then, of course, after he died and the laws of libel no longer apply, the most appalling things were said about him.
Fuel for the fires of hostility naturally came from Karajan's Nazi Party membership. He joined in 1935 to advance his blossoming career. But he wasn't interested in politics, and Hitler disliked him. Yet one might ask why Karajan stayed in Germany. After the war, bogus information was circulated stating that Karajan had joined the party twice. Karajan's concerts were banned in Detroit and picketed in New York. Yet for all the stories of greed and egomania, Karajan was a master conductor. And like a film director's magic touch with actors, Karajan inspired his musicians.
I always played better for him than anybody else, I think, when I was in the orchestra.
James Galway became the principal flutist for the Berlin Philharmonic in 1969.
He brought out the best in you all the time. Oh, yeah, the orchestra sat on the front of the chairs. If you watch any movie from the Berlin Philharmonic, nobody sits back.
Karajan had control over the Berlin Philharmonic for life, but his success and autocratic attitude slowly generated resentments within the orchestra. A series of rancorous battles over power in the early 1980s even resulted in a lawsuit. Karajan finally stepped down in April of 1989, only 3 months before he died. His final concert and recording that very same month was with his other orchestra, the Vienna Philharmonic. The music was close to Karajan's heart, Anton Bruckner's Symphony No. 7, a shimmering monolith of sound. So here we are, 100 years after Karajan's birth, and the record companies are again trotting out hundreds of reissues for one of their heroes. Whether Karajan was a hero will always be debated. What is undeniable, as you can hear from Karajan himself, is the man's singular quest to make beautiful music.
The real great satisfaction of my life that I was allowed to bring music to so many people.
It's been estimated that Karajan has sold over 200 million LPs, CDs, and videos. And you can bet that number will only keep growing. Tom Huizinga, NPR News.
You can see Herbert von Karajan conduct Beethoven, find a list of his top five recordings, and hear an extended interview with his protege, violinist Anna-Sophie Mutter, all at our website, npr.org/music. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is back next week. I'm Susan Stamford.